As God's people, we know that the life that Christians live is one described in many places in the Scriptures as the life of a soldier. We're in a battle spiritually. We are part of a military, and Christ is our commander-in-chief. He is the one who directs us and leads us and guides us in the way that is right. But we know that as we go through this life, there are things that could hinder us from doing what we're supposed to be doing. And the Apostle Paul makes mention of that when he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He said, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." So you think about the nature of the Christian life in terms of this battle that we're engaged in. So it's acknowledged from the very get-go that we are facing a hardship. We are facing difficulties. That we are going to be in a place where, you know, we're faced with these obstacles that will come our way, but we have to be faithful to God through those hardships. The trials, for example, of the Apostle Paul were many. He enumerates a whole long list of them in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where he talks about the various things that he went through as one who was certainly a soldier for Jesus Christ. And yet, there is that statement in verse 4 here in 2 Timothy 2 that no one who is engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. So there are many things not inherently sinful that we could engage in as Christians. We could be involved in those things and be not doing any wrong in doing those things. But if those things become such that they are taking up our time and they are taking up our effort to where we aren't doing the work of the Lord, then that becomes a very serious problem. So what Paul points out here is that as we go through life, we want to please the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who has enlisted us as soldiers in this army, so that we might, as his faithful soldiers, be able to engage in those battles. Some of them will involve speaking against false doctrine, false teachers, those kinds of battles. There will be the battles against temptation and the various lusts of the flesh and of the mind and the vain pride of life that 1 John chapter 2 talks about. So these are things that we must take into serious account. But when it's all over, what do we have to look forward to? In this same epistle, 2 Timothy, in chapter 4, the Apostle Paul speaks about his own life and where he is at the present. Verse 6 beginning, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." He says, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." So Paul was, at this point in time, imprisoned. We know that the Apostle Paul faced many challenges, but of course, the persecution he faced and the trials that led to the position where he was imprisoned and in jeopardy of losing his life, well, that was nothing to him when he considered where he was spiritually. He's done his work. He battled the spiritual battles that he needed to battle. He had run this race, and he talks about finishing the race. So at the end of your life, when you stand before the Lord, having been faithful in your walk, obeying the Lord and all that he has called upon you to do, you can say as Paul did, "I finished my race." And then he says, "I've kept the faith." That is, the system of faith given to us, he was faithful to observe it and keep it. What God commands, he kept. And thus he could look forward to what is mentioned in verse 8, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to him on that day. And everyone who loves the appearing of the Lord and lives that life that will bring about those kinds of results. Here's something to remember. And that is, when we labor for the Lord, we will not be forgotten by the Lord in terms of our service, even though in this lifetime we see that happening many times. Soldiers forgotten. I read an article today that mentioned that There's an estimated 500,000 to a million homeless veterans in the United States. Tennessee has 50,000 of them, roughly. There was a man who took upon himself this endeavor and this good work of building small homes for homeless veterans, because tragically there are many veterans who are being forgotten. But remember this, that God is not going to forget anyone who faithfully serves Him in this life. That we have something to look forward to. Jesus, in fact, before He left this world, John chapter 14 says this, to His disciples He said, "In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." The beautiful picture that the Bible gives us for soldiers of the cross is that we don't have a tiny house waiting for us. We have mansions. We have the beautiful presence of God to look forward to. We have the reward that is prepared by the One who made us and knows what will give us happiness that will never end. That's what we have to look forward to. This life, yes, it's the life of a soldier. There are battles to face. There are hardships that we have to persevere through. There are also going to be discouraging times. And yet, soldiers can remember we have one who loves us, one who fought the battle before us, who gave His life for us as His servants. And one day, He is going to come again. Our commander-in-chief will come back and will take us to be with Him forevermore. This is what we can look forward to as children of God. But maybe tonight you're not yet a part of this military of the Lord, the army of Christ. We have to be engaged in this battle. In fact, the One who died for us died so that we can not only be a part of His spiritual army and His warriors, but that we can find the forgiveness of sins that gives us the hope of being able to share in the eternal rewards that God has prepared for us. So through faith and turning away from our sins in repentance, through the confession of our faith in Christ and baptism, which is where we have our sins washed from that sin that stains our souls, we can find ourselves then added by God to the church that we read about in the New Testament. And living faithfully to keep His will, as certainly Paul did, we can look forward to the reward that is promised and to the life everlasting that God has in store for us. Bodies that will never grow old, but that will be eternal in their nature. And furthermore then, remember that there in that place will be the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, the faithful angels who serve God and did not turn away from the will that He gave to them like Satan and his angels did, and then the faithful that we read about in the Scriptures. All who have ever faithfully served God will be there as well. We will be united together with all who love God and God Himself. You need to come tonight and make a decision to obey the gospel if your sins have not yet been washed away by Christ. If you've done that already, then you stand before the Lord justified, sanctified, with hope of heaven. And that's what we have as we continue to live that faithful life. If you've turned a path away from the path that God has set for you and need to come home to Him, you can return, be forgiven, and resume your walk with God. The invitation is His, and He invites you at this time as we stand and sing.